Deer Invasion. Took my daughter to Fenway Park this week. Great trip and lots of memories. On our way home, we boarded the plane, sat down, everything is great. Ready to watch a movie and be back home in Dallas. Just as I buckle my seatbelt, this person behind me shoves the biggest possible suitcase under my seat. Now I feel like I'm sitting on some piece of metal rather than my seat. The suitcase is now protruding from the front of my seat. Uncomfortable now, and turn and look. They smirked as to say, too bad. So for the 3.5 hours home, I kicked the suitcase every 20 to 30 minutes, continued my move my seat to back and then to upright. It was a night flight, so I turned the brightness up on all of our screens and then every so often turned the overhead light on and off as they were trying to sleep. Am I the jerk?
Yeah, I would say the extra little tidbits on that one. Now, the pushing the suitcase back with your feet is not jerk at all.
That's, no.
This is space that is reserved for my feet. You're not going to shove your suitcase up underneath my feet. I'd have done the same thing.
I feel like that should have been a, if you wanted to call someone over and
flight attendant situation.
Don't you need to check that?
They do have bag regulations on what does go underneath. So if it's protruding on you, basically, if you can feel the bag, that's too big.
Man, I've had a point to where my book bag and one of the straps was sticking out in the aisle, and they told me that needs to be under the seat.
100%.
You're going, like, it's got to be under the seat.
I've had it to where, like, my bag is kind of, like, underneath my feet a little bit, and they've told me to push it further underneath the seat. He should have raised his hand, hit that button.
I feel like the airlines got it wrong on this one, because you should have to put your bag underneath the seat that you're sitting in and not the seat in front of you.
That would make sense.
But we're too far gone from that now.
Yeah.
It's always the one in front of you. So, yeah, the overhead light is something I never thought about. That's kind of awesome. I mean, it's a jerk move.
I mean, if he's actually using it,
and if you're inconveniencing me and I get to turn on a light while you're trying to sleep, it's a jerk move, but I never thought about that.
I think that's a good way to fight back without, like, being too obvious about it and too confrontational.
Right. I just want to read.
Yeah.
I would stay up on that flight just to make everyone else uncomfortable.
Yeah, I have trouble sleeping, man. I don't know what to tell you, but I'm going to need this because I'm writing a manuscript right here.
I don't think there's any problem with having your light on your overhead.
If you're awake
and you're reading or doing something, there's a light there for the reason.
The light is an available service.
That's not jerk at all.
The only thing I would say, if it's an overnight flight and you're going overseas, like, that's a long way to go. Boston to Dallas, man, read all you want. That doesn't bother me. But I think it's just a little bit of etiquette. You're right. There's nothing wrong with it. And if you're up and you want to read and you need the light, you go for it. But if we're going from here to, let's say, Spain, and it's 10 hours, let's everyone kind of chill out a bit.
Yeah, those long-distance ones, it's got to be more like show etiquette. If nobody is standing around you at the show, you should probably not stand. It's got to be, you got to kind of go with the flow a little bit.
If you have any, what's the word, issues with people kind of walking around and standing by doors, because it makes you a little bit nervous about what may happen, don't do an international flight.
Well, people got to get up and walk around.
I know,
and
that's what I'm saying.
For a bit, you can't.
But you always give a side eye for someone standing right there by the door, wondering what the hell is about to happen.
You just watch them and see if they're going to try to grab the handle so you can finally live out your fantasy.
One move. You even kind of undo the seatbelt just in case you need to lunge.
I got you.
And I'm not trying to be anyone's hero.
No?
I'm not trying to be math man on one of those flights. I want to sit there and enjoy everything.
Confuse him with long division.
And not worry about someone who I think is going to try and undo the door and kill us all. But you can't help it. You just look over.
And you always notice the out of place scenarios. I pick up on those immediately. Even in times where it's probably silly and there's nothing happening. I noticed that immediately.
Yeah. There was one time there, a little kid was kind of, you know, just letting him run around up and down the aisle just to get some of the energy out. And the kid even stopped by the door and just looked. What are you doing, kid?
Yep.
Because I would pick you up and throw you like a football down the...
Maybe easy to disarm.
What if he just kicks my ass?
Is that the cartoon? He has me by one hand, and he's just...
He's that Hercules kid from a couple years ago that had a six-pack.
He's been taking jiu-jitsu. He just climbs up your back and chokes you out.
Just every wrestling move you could think of.
Woo! Dives into your
knee. And everybody, it's just, they have their phone out. They're not trying to help me, and I'm tapping.
Turns out it's like, not a kid at all,
I'm tapping.
Actually.
Let's get it out of here. Let's
he just
go.
Snaps your arm and pulls your bone out and stabs you in the throat with it.
Okay, that's a little far, but...
I just thought that'd be a cool finishing move on Mortal Kombat.
Okay. Hey, y'all. Long time P1. First time reaching out. Got a wild one for you. Am I the Jerk segment. So here's how it went down. There were four friends, two couples, all big time Swifties. When the Eras Tour tickets went on sale, they all jumped into the Ticketmaster queue. Only one person. We'll call him Ray. Actually got through. So he was able to buy four tickets at face value, around $550 each. And the plan was simple. Everyone would Venmo him the money for the tickets, which they did. Easy, fair, everyone's excited. Fast forward a few months, and the ticket prices skyrocket. You should know this, being a Swiftie yourself. They're talking $7,000 a ticket on resale sites. Then comes the plot twist. Ray and his partner hit financial hardship, money got tight, and they saw a chance to make some serious cash. So they made the call to sell their two tickets and pocket the profit. Not ideal, but hey, life happens, right? But then they took it a step further. They told the other couple, we're going to refund your money and sell your tickets too. They said since the tickets were technically in Ray's account, they had the right to do whatever they wanted. Naturally, the other couple lost it. Full-blown argument broke out, with Ray even demanding proof they weren't going to resell the tickets, like hotel reservations and travel plans, before he would even consider handing them over. Eventually, the second couple did get their tickets, but the friendship, gone. Likely totally over, group chat dead, trust destroyed, everything done. So here's the question. Who's the jerk? Ray and his partner for trying to sell everyone's tickets when money got tight?
There's no question.
Or the other couple for expecting their paid-for tickets to still be there no matter what?
Ray is a colossal jerk on this. Are you kidding me? Like, there's no even argument on this.
No,
I mean, the other couple paid him for those tickets. Hey, whoever gets in first is buying these tickets. Cool. We want to go to the show. We gave you the money. We bought these tickets from you. They're our tickets.
And our finances are straight. We're good.
And the crazy thing about it is I will refund you your $1,100 for two tickets, and then I'm going to sell those other ones for $14,000 and just keep everything.
Right. That's he's taken this two steps way too far.
Yeah, this is 100% on Ray, who thought, you can't do that.
Because, like, the beginning of it of just like, okay, look, things have gone a little south for us. We could use the cash. This is obviously a boon for us, this up in price on the online secondary market of these tickets is great. He realizes as he goes to sell those, I actually have four in my little account here.
Yeah, eyes get big a bit.
Makes the executive decision.
Yeah, and those aren't his tickets to sell.
He's been paid for those tickets. He's holding them for them. He's essentially a locker for
those
tickets.
Those people's tickets, if they want to resell them, then they get that money anyway. Because it's their tickets.
You're a real jerk.
Yeah, Ray's a colossal jerk.
Whoa.
How close was that?
Not very close.
Okay.
The first letter of that was formed on your lips and everything.
I know.
Sometimes I like to go up to the line, but it would never actually come out.
$550 a ticket, though.
Just a tip.
That would be the most I've ever paid for a concert.
Yeah, they must have had really
hands down.
Those are some good seats face value. Because when we went to the Eras Tour, our face value tickets were like $350 each, and we had very good seats. Mm-hmm. Like, we were not on the floor, but like two rows off the floor, something like that. Like, really close. We had good seats. So $550, that's a pretty penny. They must have been crazy good tickets.
Get some Taylor Swift sweat on them for $550.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I'm trying to see if I'd ever drop $550 for a ticket to a show.
What I paid was a lot.
$350? I think that would qualify with the most. I don't think I've ever paid $350 for a concert before.
I personally would never have wanted to go pay for that much.
Yeah, I don't think there's a single artist that I would pay that
much.
But
it was badass.
I think when I went to my boxing match, I dropped $250 a ticket.
I want to say my dad paid like $225, $250 to see the Eagles when I was a kid. And that's probably the most expensive concert I've ever been to.
Yeah, I think I paid like $100 and something for Fleetwood Mac, but that was a long time ago. I don't know how much it would charge now. And that wasn't even we weren't even in the lower bowl. But there are certain bands that I wouldn't mind paying. Like 100 seems like a lot to me to go to a concert.
Agree.
But I would pay
it
100.
It is, but there's not a lot of places you can go now to see a show that's going to be under 100.
I know.
Especially a big name.
And we've just come to that conclusion, and we know, and they're still selling out and doing everything.
There are very few artists that I would go three figures for.
And that just kind of eliminates you from the concert game, which sucks, but also, like, I'm just not paying that much to go see somebody at this huge venue that I can barely hear the music anyway.
Which is why, is it worth just going to the concert by yourself? Like, if it's a band I really like that she's not that into, why not just go, hey.
Would that make you up your game as far as ticket prices will go?
Yeah.
You'll say, okay, if I'm going by myself,
Like, if it's going to cost $400, let's say, for both of us to go, but I can go on my own for a couple of $100, then maybe I up it up a little bit so that I can sit where I want to sit. Although it is really odd when somebody goes and I sat next to somebody who was at a concert once by themselves, and it's a strange experience.
Man.
Because it's not like the movies. It's more, right. Way more interactive.
It is.
Yeah, I've heard Hardline talk about this subject, and usually if it's a show and I can't get anyone to go with me, I won't go. And they're saying, no, you've got to. It's a different experience when you go by yourself. And I've been once, and it was fine. There are some times when you want someone to kind of enjoy it with.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it with a neighbor if you're in tune with the music.
We did a bit on Work in Progress back in the day, and it was the beginnings of the NIT break where we played the Fantasy League, and I came in last place. So I had to go to a concert, and it was DJ... Oh, I cannot remember.
Ringenberg.
Oh,
that's Creed?
No,
DJ Khaled.
No, different iteration of Work in Progress. It was some random DJ that played Echo Lounge, and I had to go to the concert by myself. She's like a South African DJ, and it was, I mean, it was a very interesting show, but it was very boring being there by myself. But I also didn't know the artist at all.
I would just stand in the back and...
That's what I kind of did.
Sip on a beer.
But if you were into the artist, it would be different.
Way different. I would, because it wasn't like overly crowded in there. It's a small venue. It's a nice venue. I would have been right there in the middle having a good time. Yeah. Well,
maybe she would have called you up on the ones and twos.
Maybe not the middle, but.
All right. That's Am I the Jerk for this week. Am I the Jerk 1310 at gmail.com. You can send in those scenarios. We do it every Thursday at 9:50.